2021. As the rate of borrowing continues to climb, the unhealthy ratio of debt to GDP is expected to continue rising over coming years. On the one hand, the Biden administration hopes to suppress inflation, which will likely drag down the U.S. economy and employment. On the other hand, if the U.S. government chooses to stimulate the economy by increasing debt scale, investors will face greater pressure like rising capital cost, ultimately dampening economic growth prospects. It will be, therefore, difficult for the U.S. government to balance economic recovery and runaway inflation. Bai Ming, Deputy Director of the International Market Research Institute at the Chinese Academy of International Trade and Economic Cooperation, told the Global Times in an interview. He added, the U.S. debt ceiling has been raised many times, which to a large extent will also have an impact on the U.S. financial markets, objectively playing a negative role by adding fuel to the fire on top of interest hikes. Global Times added, the total debt of $31 trillion also indicates that there will be more intense political combat on issues related to congressional appropriations in Washington, which means almost all major federal projects and initiatives will be difficult to deliver, affecting the country's internal economic vitality and its external influence. In addition, experts added, the last time the U.S. debt was this close to its ceiling, the government was nearly forced to shut down, and the increasingly high debt will also harm the basic operation of the federal government. And an increasing debt burden will naturally raise concerns about the ability of the U.S. government to service the debt, and even the possibility of extremes in future U.S. internal and external policies, such as provoking volatility, unrest, or even a war-oriented foreign policy to shift or even find ways to renege on its debt, which has indeed happened in U.S. history. This sentiment alone could potentially undermine the full faith and credit of the U.S. The Congressional Budget Office earlier this year released a report on America's debt load, warning in its 30-year outlook that if unaddressed, the debt will soon spiral upward to new highs that could ultimately imperil the U.S. economy, according to an AP report.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special,
There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us once again on this special episode of Muslim Lady. As always, I have the honor and privilege of being joined in the studio with my darling sister and expert, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I always get so excited whenever we are supposed to have discussions. I hope our listeners half as excited as I am about the things that we talk about, especially this episode, because the topic might seem repetitive, but the essence of it is something that we obviously cannot talk about enough.
Well, there are a lot of beautiful ahadith that tells us whom to avoid for marriage and whom to select for marriage. They actually give us criteria for marriage. Oftentimes, I've been a person who have like talked about this topic for so many sessions, marriage and criteria for spouse selection. And then at the end of the day, like if you really want to make something of the ahadith, they're so rich, but you have to analyze them. Like when it says, don't marry someone for someone's wealth or beauty, like if you really look at it from a scientific way, from a psychological way, from a spiritual way, from a material way. If you really analyze it, you can really understand what the hadith is trying to say, right? So, and sometimes the hadith, for example, say, marry someone for their faith or piety, right? And this is something very general.
I mean, like, duh, obviously.
Duh, well, of course I'm going to marry. Or marry someone for their akhlaq. Yeah, of course, I have that. Everyone in the whole world knows that if you want, like the Muslims, if you want to marry someone, two very important criteria is akhlaq and religiosity.
Yeah.
What about akhlaq? What about religiosity? Where does narcissism come into the picture? Narcissism means that there is lack of akhlaq. There is lack of religiosity.
There's pretend akhlaq. With narcissists, there's pretend akhlaq.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, like when you really look into tangible, practical like cases, then you really understand. And when you come across narcissists, you really get to understand the pain that they bring into your life. Mm-hmm. And then you really understand what akhlaq is all about. Right? What is narcissism? We talked about it in the previous session, but just I'm going to give you a very academic interpretation of narcissism so we can have our discussion. Sure. According to DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders,
yep.
All psychologists in the world, they will have to be up to date with the latest DSM. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that the latest DSM is DSM-5. Right? So according to the definition provided by DSM-5, narcissism is a pervasive pattern of grandiosity, a constant need for admiration, and a lack of empathy.
Yeah, I think I've met a few people like
that. Yeah, and it's so important. One very important thing is that usually narcissism brings its pain in romantic relationships.
Yes.
And not so much in friendships.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a narcissistic friend, yes, you might encounter some problems, some challenges, but the pain and the misery and the cancer is started once you marry a narcissist.
So sad.
So, so sad. At least 5 of these criteria have to be present in a narcissist so that you could consider them, according to DSM-5, as a narcissist. 1, a grandiose sense of self-importance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very important.
I'm the center of the universe.
I'm the king of the world.
I'm the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Exactly. I don't know what you did that God gave me to you. I am everything. I have money.
Everything I have is the best.
Yes.
Even if I don't have anything.
Exactly. But they do have the best. Mm-hmm. They drive the best cars. They have the best houses. They go to the best vacations in the world. They work hard to have something because they want to be charming. And charm doesn't come with no price. They do their best to reach this charm. Two, a preoccupation with fantasies of unlimited success. Power, preoccupation of fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. They do have some degree of power, brilliance, success, beauty, but subhanAllah, when you're with them, they act in a way, they present themselves in a way that you think, subhanAllah, they're the most handsome, beautiful creatures on the world, because they believe it deep within. Number three, a belief that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people or institutions. I'm so special. They're so special that only a selected number of people are allowed to interact with them, to socialize with them. Their wives or their husbands have to be of a certain...
Trophy.
Their trophy wives or husbands. Four, a need for excessive admiration.
Oh, yes. Everyone has to clap and cheer for them. You're actually breathing, Masha.
That is super.
Yes, exactly.
Number five, a sense of entitlement.
Entitlement, yes.
I am entitled to the best food. I am entitled to the best car. I am entitled to the best accessories in the market. Next one, number six, interpersonally exploitive behavior. When they're socializing with other people, they kill you with their charms. They attract you and they put the leash on over, of course, not everyone's, but vulnerable people who get attracted to them. They put the leash around them and then they exploit them in a beautiful way that they will kill them with the least amount of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And last one, a lack of empathy.
I thought a lack of responsibility would be on that list too. They don't take responsibility for any mistakes. It's never their fault.
Exactly. We're gonna go to that.
Yeah.
This is one of
the hallmarks of a narcissist.
Exactly. We're gonna go to that. But lack of empathy is like
they know how to pretend to be empathetic.
Yeah. That is true.
But that the wiring in their head does not connect to the empathy lobe.
Exactly. You know, sometimes I wonder if they actually see the misery that they're bringing to your life as their partner, but they are so preoccupied with their own
fantasies
of, you know, grandeur and like how high they are, that they don't really realize how much pain they are bringing into your life.
And even if they do, they most probably, number one, think it's your own fault.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they did something wrong, they'd say, see what you made me do?
Exactly. See what you made me do?
Exactly. And also, they thrive on the pain their partner goes through because of them.
Exactly.
Because it makes them feel more special.
Exactly, exactly. SubhanAllah, that I don't know how many women, how many Muslim women have experienced, you know, being with a narcissistic spouse in their life and what kind of hardships they have. But, you know, Zainab, at the end of the day, knowing that you are with a narcissist and the qualities of a narcissist, if you really become aware of these qualities, then you don't go around beating yourself up all the time. Oh my God, I'm not good enough.
True.
I didn't act well.
What did I do to deserve it?
I wasn't enough. What did I do wrong? Then you will realize that you're perfect. That there is nothing wrong with you, that the other person, that your spouse...
Is
the cause of the problem. Just knowing that brings so much peace of mind to you and your life. You will know that you are the sane person. Of course, unfortunately, these people, the narcissist, bring so much misery into your life that ultimately they will drive you insane.
Yeah, they will.
They will really bring upon...
And then they will use that as a card against you. See, you were crazy all along.
You should see the...
you should see a therapist.
Therapist, exactly. See, I told you from the very beginning.
Exactly.
There was something wrong with you. I mean, I don't know why I'm living with you.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady here on IRB English Radio. We'll be back after a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
If you're a Muslim lady and you're living with a narcissist spouse, one thing that you will realize is that you don't feel connected. What do I mean by you don't feel connected? The whole world revolves around them and their plans for life.
Uh-huh.
Right?
They're the priority.
They're the priority. And even when they're planning for the future of your joint life as a couple, everything goes according to their desires, according to how they decide that things should be.
Their preferences.
Their preferences. They don't even ask you. Mm. Right? So you're nowhere in the picture. They're constantly bragging about themselves. They're constantly talking about their accomplishments. And
they're steering the conversation toward a direction that you can praise and talk about their accomplishment. In any way, they have to be the topic of conversation.
So, so true. And they rarely have any interest about your interests.
Yeah.
They don't even bother to ask themselves, so what do you think?
In the beginning, they do, though.
Yeah, at the very beginning, because they have to
they
show some charm.
They love bomb you, yeah.
Exactly. So they don't even give a fig of, like, what you like to achieve in life, where you like to go in life, like, what kind of vacation you like to...
What are your goals and aspirations?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nothing really matters to them. Of course, when you're deep in the relationship with them, at the very beginning, everything, as you said, they really try to make you, pamper you with their beautiful, loving words, with their romantic relationship. And as you said early in the program, you feel manipulated when you're living with a narcissist. What do we mean by that? You know, they act in a way that they somehow propose a threat to the romantic relationship that you have with them. Like, they don't really say it, if you don't do this, I'm going to, like, end up this relationship with you. If you don't do this, I'm going to go with another woman. But in a very subtle way, they, through their gestures, because they're super professional in charms, right? They act in a way that you feel threatened that if I don't do this, that if I don't act in a certain way...
He's going to leave.
He's going to leave me. My relationship is going to come to an end.
They constantly keep you on your toes.
Exactly.
They like to have you in anxiety mode over losing them.
Exactly.
Because that makes them feel special.
And not only losing them, but sometimes you're living with them. They make sure that you are living with them, but then you lose their attention.
The silent treatment.
Yeah.
The
you
cold
lose shoulders, their love, cold shoulder.
Yeah.
They leave the house early in the morning without even telling you where they're going. When are you going to come for lunch? I don't know. I don't know. They're going to leave. You're just going to be left hanging in the air. Mm. They're with their friends. Obviously, people who like to, you know,
admire and praise
them all the time because you've stopped admiring them. Right?
They don't get what they want from you anymore for that moment. Or sometimes they just like manipulating you so that they can string you along.
Exactly.
You know? That's all the time we have for today's episode. Those were really some interesting facts, and I hope there was positive takeaway for all of our listeners. We've been talking about narcissistic spouses on this episode of Muslim Lady, and inshallah we'll continue it in the future. Until then, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This way. and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and on the threshold of the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, we present you an interesting say from the Messenger of Mercy regarding respect towards parents. Every righteous child who casts a look of mercy and affection upon his parents shall be granted, for every look of his, rewards equivalent to that of an accepted Hajj.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well. Just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature. Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodiles seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Irshan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Irshan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Irshan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together in strong and metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you we present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you on the Week of Unity. That is a special week for all Muslims all around the globe. This week is entitled the Week of Unity by the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Today, Wednesday, is the 15th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of May, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by listening to recitation of Chapter and Fall, verse 46.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين.
And obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not dispute and thus lose courage, and then your strength would depart. And be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah introduces the Prophet as the axis of practical unity for Muslims. This axis includes all deeds and words of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, who, as the history of Islam testifies, prevented discord and created unity among Muslims in order to strengthen the political and social bases of the Ummah. The Prophet, after migrating to Medina from Mecca, entered into treaties and social contracts, which are among the most evident ways of fostering unity. By creating brotherhood among Muslims, the Holy Prophet turned the enmity of the days of paganism into blessings and mercy.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
As I told you, the topic of this episode is importance of unity in the world of Islam. We continue with that. Someone may ask why it is so important to unite. The answer is very simple. Together we are strong. As one ummah, we are a powerful forces. This is certainly what the enemies of Islam dread most. With unity, mutual cooperation will materialize. With unity, love and affection will prevail in the society. With unity, the Muslim Ummah will have a say in the world affairs, and most importantly, Muslims will cease to be an easy prey for their enemies, as is the case nowadays. Unity was the divine force behind the mechanism of forming the first Islamic state in Medina. It helped the early Muslims gain victory in all their battles against disbelievers, hence putting an end to injustice and aggression. So what more do the present Muslims need to wake up from their sleep? They need to rise up to the present challenges facing them.
Sheikh Rouhani, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, actually, we are going to talk about the role of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the 14 infallibles, I mean the A'imma alayhim salatu wassalam, in establishing wahda and unity among Muslim ummah. So the greatest steps that put forward by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, A'imma, the infallibles, the 14 infallibles, and also Lady Zahra Salamullahi Alaiha, they tried their best to preserve and to keep this unity among Muslim ummah. For example, when the caliphs, because according to the Shia beliefs, to the Shia doctrines and principles, it was Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam who was appointed as caliph, as the true successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by the Prophet in Ghadir Khum, in the last Hajj of the Prophet, when the Prophet performed his last Hajj, when he was in the way of Mecca to Medina. So there was a certain place called Ghadir Khum, as you know. In that place, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed Amir al-Mu'mineen as the caliph, as the successor of himself. And also in many occasions, other occasions, he also introduced Imam Ali Alaihi Wasallam, and he also introduced the other imams according to the different narrations from the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by different companions and the progeny of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi. But the problem is that unfortunately, after the demise of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so many other things happened in the history of Islam that we are not going to talk about them. But what matters most here is the role of Imam Ali Alaihi Wasallam. Amir al-Mu'mineen tried his best to preserve this unity among Muslims. And this unity actually empowered Amir al-Mu'mineen Alaihi Wasallam by his own, let's say, character. Actually, he strengthened the unity among Muslim ummah.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
You are with us with IRIB English Radio and this program, Today's a Special. Under the title of Unity, we look at culture and sectarian division. Another aspect of unity arises amongst our political leaders. Muslim nations should have a shura council that legislates laws according to Islamic teachings. We are a far cry away from this in today's current situation. We see dictatorships everywhere, leaving Muslims oppressed and divided. Shura helps us implement Islamic laws into society, giving us guidelines based on the Quran and Hadith. Although there are various opinions on matters, they reach a collective consensus after deliberating what the strongest arguments are. And after they agree on a decision that is based on the Quran and Hadith, it is passed on to the people. Sadly, this doesn't happen as it should, because dictators overruled and don't allow the people to be ruled by Sharia or Islamic laws. Most Muslim nations only implement some laws while neglecting others. If Muslims are divided amongst themselves within a nation and between other Muslim nations, how can we ever expect to achieve unity? Dear Muslim brother and sister, Shia or Sunni, avoid taking a strong position on smaller points. Yes, this is from the things any Muslim can personally do to help foster Islamic unity. There is what's called a fiqh of priorities. And this essentially means that there are some aspects of Islam that are more important than others. For instance, it's more important to emphasize that Muslims establish prayer than whether or not there should be a curtain between men and women in mosques. Knowing what our priorities are will help us avoid making secondary issues of the faith factors of division in our communities. Muslim leaders especially must not only understand this, but implement it in their communities, so that the small differences do not kill Muslim unity.
My heartfelt congratulations for the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the week of unity. Unity of Ummah and Islam are two sides of the same coin. Unity of Ummah and Tawheed are two sides of the same coin. The late Kashiful Ghita said, بني الإسلام على كلمتين كلمة التوحيد وتوحيد الكلمة. Islam is built on two words, word of unity and unity of word. Unity of God and unity in God. If we don't have unity, we would lose Islam. Either all together, or maybe the name remains, but there is no esprit of Islam. A society in which Muslims hate each other, accuse each other, na'uzu billah, kill each other, excommunicate each other. This is not Islamic, even if they call themselves Islamic. True Islam can be verified by seeing love, brotherhood, respect. And even if there are Muslims from any sect, any group, who don't open up, who don't show love, respect to other Muslims, this would not give others excuse to do the same. We should, like members of the family, that when we have troublemakers in the family who would want to divide the family, we should be extra patient so that the family remains together. And inshallah, maybe these people also would wake up.
That was all for today's episode of today's special about unity. Inshallah, we follow this interesting topic. So, till then, till another time we meet each other, we leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursaleen. رحمة للعالمين جئت
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.